Glad to be in an old-fashioned country church tonight where you can get saved when the Holy Ghost moves on you. No programs here, praise God. I hate going to a church where you get a dinner menu when you walk in the front door. Bless God, if I want a menu, I'll go to a restaurant. I like someplace where you can come and just enjoy the Lord, and I hope this precious lady get saved or whatever her need is. You know, a lot of times you come to a little country church like this up on the hill, everybody has the idea we're just stupid redneck people, don't know any better but just to worship God. I don't like that. I don't like that kind of philosophy. I have a graduate's degree in theology. I have a bachelor's in biblical science. I have a master's degree in psychology. I have a doctor's degree in divinity and theology, have a bachelor's degree in mortuary science and embalming, and I still like to shout. And I'm not letting no education or no school take my shout from me. I enjoy the Lord, but it's wonderful to be saved, and I'm glad I went to a school that promoted worshiping God. And I don't care if you can't read your name in boxcar letters. If you're saved, you ought to shout anyhow. Because your name's recorded in glory. You may not be able to read it, but it's there, praise God. By the way, I'd rather not be able to read and know I'm saved than to be an educated fool and go to hell without God. I'll take Jesus any day, won't you? I'm glad you're here tonight, and I'm honored all the visitors have come from all over the state for the closing night of the meeting, and I want to thank you personally for coming. I want to take just a moment while she's calling on the Lord. I want to thank Brother Franklin for letting me come. It's been a great honor for me to be here. First time I ever held revival at Hilltop Baptist Church, and I've enjoyed myself so much. Now, tonight's the closing night of the meeting. Brother Franklin asked me to pray about going another week. I did so. I preach somewhere every week of my life, so where I'm at really doesn't matter to me. And I prayed about it much, and I really feel like the Lord wants me to go to Chesney, South Carolina next week. One reason, somebody called and threatened to kill me, and I wouldn't miss that appointment for anything in the world. And that's good. Yeah, I want her to tell him what happened. If anything happened, she ought to tell it. That's great. Did she get saved, Brother Franklin? That precious young lady got saved, and I'm glad she did. But anyhow, somebody called the pastor and told him if I came to Chesney, I was going to be killed. And so I'm looking forward and anticipating going to that meeting. You pray much about that meeting. I told him to tell that gentleman the only thing he needed to consider was he does not own the only gun in Chesney, South Carolina. And so I'm excited about that meeting next week. You pray about that. Check in on my guest book. It's not for the faint of heart. If you have a bad heart, you should not look up my guest book. It's very controversial, and people write in there and threaten to beat up each other, and I love it. So if I get shot, I will put it in my guest book. So if you want to read it next week, I'll keep you up to date on what's going on in Chesney. I love conflict. It's so good for your blood pressure. I just like it. You say, I don't like conflict. Oh, yes, you do. You got a mother-in-law. You like conflict, too. And so I'll be going to that meeting. But I tell you what I told Brother Franklin. I feel like if I just close out and stay 1 week this year, I feel like I need to come back. I want to come back. I'm going to come back, Lord willing, next year. And 12 years ago, I put my tent up in Newport, Tennessee. Many of you here tonight were there. That's still probably one of the most talked about meetings that I know of in the state of Tennessee. Even matter of fact, some of you here tonight were saved in that meeting in Newport, Tennessee, 12 years ago. And if God will give me liberty, I want you to pray about it. I'd like to bring that tent back to this hell-bent town one more time. Just for old time's sake. And to make every demon of hell mad, I'd like to bring the tent back one more time and put it up. I love a tent. You can have a knockdown, drag out. It don't tear nothing up. It's a door all the way around. You can throw people any direction you want. All the chairs are folding. You can beat people with them. A tent meeting is just awesome, man. So, Lord willing, next year we'll be bringing our tent back up here if Pastor Franklin and I can work it out. I appreciate him and Miss Franklin being so nice to my wife and I. and Brother Ben taking good care of me as well. I want to thank you, Brother Ben, for being there when I needed you. And I appreciate that, Miss Franklin. My wife and I feel the same way, you letting us come. It's been a great privilege. And I'll be leaving immediately after the service tonight. And I've got a long drive tonight. I'll have to drive all night, as a matter of fact. I was going to preach against the liquor crowd. I heard you're voting liquor by the drink Tuesday. Is that this coming Tuesday, isn't it? It's also the presidential election. You be sure to vote. How many of you are planning on voting Tuesday? Raise your hand. How many of you are planning on voting? That's what I thought. Half of you are not even going to vote. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And if a shade gorilla wins the election, it's none of your business if you didn't care enough to go vote. And I'm not going to tell you how to vote. You vote for the Republican of your choice. But I'll tell you one thing. You have a responsibility. It is your responsibility as a Christian to vote and to have a say in this great country. It's a privilege and an honor to do so. And if you don't want to vote, get the absentee ballot and I'll vote for you. I was going to preach against the liquor crowd. Matter of fact, I had to vote absentee ballot because I will not be home for the election. And we had a question on our ballot this year on fag marriages. And I told the lady at the courthouse, I said, I can't believe we're voting on a bunch of fags getting married. What in the name of God's wrong with this country when you got to vote on two men getting married? My God, animals don't even do that. And bless God, even dogs in heat know to go look for the opposite sex. Bless God, some of you hunting dogs got more sense than y'all do. And so hopefully we'll defeat the fags on Tuesday as well. Send them to Massachusetts where Mr. Kerry is now the senator. Let him kiss on them for a while. But I wanted to preach against the liquor, and I know Newport's already got its problems, and I'm taking a little bit of extra time tonight. You know I preach 20 or 25 minutes and I'll be done. But I hope you'll vote against. I was looking at the church directory in Newport, Tennessee. If just the people that claim to know Jesus will vote against this, it will be outnumbered unbelievably. I cannot believe that there's already package stores and that kind of thing in this hell-bent town such as you already have. That's hard for me to believe. So many people claim to be saved and there's liquor stores everywhere. But I hope you'll vote against that on Tuesday and have your say here in this town to keep the liquor crowd out of here by the drink anyhow. And I hope you'll do that as your responsibility as a Christian. I appreciate the good meal tonight. Man, I felt right at home tonight. Went downstairs, had a big Confederate flag hung across the fellowship and it just made me feel so good being from Mississippi. That is the national flag as far as we're concerned in Mississippi. And I enjoyed the meal. All you ladies pitched in. I don't know who made that banana pudding, but God may let you make that at the marriage supper. I tell you, that was good. And Brother and Miss Compton had us in their home on yesterday, and we had a wonderful meal there. I told Brother Franklin, I do have one complaint that I will be checking into. Somebody told me Brother Allen gets a little better treatment than I do when I'm here. Does he? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to straighten Brother Allen out. Now, him and I, we've never had a cross word, but bless God, he ain't pulling rank on me around here. We're going to have to straighten that out, Brother Michael, make sure. I want to know how much money he gets and everything next time he comes. I want a full report on everything you do for him. Every pawn shop you take him to. Every knife he buys. Every crappie you cook. And every steak Miss Compton gives him. I want a record of it. And I want equal treatment, bless God. I'll call the minority society about being mistreated if I don't get it. I believe in equal employment opportunity. So tonight I feel like God wants me to preach from 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Would you turn there in your Bible? This is the message that the Lord's put on my heart. It's 7:35. I'm going to start preaching now. And please don't tie me up after service and give me your life story and your medical history and 3 hunting illustrations. I've got to drive all night and I don't believe anything you say about your hunting anyway. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 7.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, in verse 11, because they didn't want to receive the love of the truth, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look up here tonight, because I need your undivided attention. I'm preaching on a very controversial subject tonight. I'm going to preach tonight on the tribulation period. I never dreamed, I did not know there was so much confusion about the tribulation period in our Baptist churches. I was preaching with a man some time ago, and he preached first, and this is what he said. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to upset you, but you are going to be here the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And I had to follow that nut. And when I got up after him, this is what I said. I said, sir, I'm not here to kill this meeting, and I don't want to start a fight. But if you're here the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, don't bother packing your clothes. You're going to be here the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, Paul had a problem. Some false prophets had written the people of God there in Thessalonica and said that Jesus had already come and that they had been left behind. He warned them in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians that the Lord had not come yet. And somebody had wrote fake letters and even signed the apostles' name to them, again clarifying and declaring that Jesus had already come. And he tells us in the beginning of this chapter that before he comes, there will be a falling away. And God knows we see that before our very eyes. But there is a period of time yet ahead called the tribulation period. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, there's never been days like it before, neither shall there be any days like it hereafter. In Matthew 24, the first part of the chapter, he calls it tribulation. The last part of the chapter, he calls it great tribulation. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter number 30 that this is a time of Jacob's trouble. This is a time of the judgment of God on Israel, because they cried, let his blood be upon us and our children, would they crucify the Son of God. This is 7 years of judgment that God has pronounced upon the Jew. But the severity of the judgment will be so real and so divine that the whole universe will be affected by the wrath of a sovereign, almighty God. And the Bible calls it the tribulation period. I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes on the subject, why I'm glad I will not go through the tribulation period. Why I'm glad I'm not going through the tribulation period. I want to give you chronologically what's going to happen next on God's great divine prophetic time calendar. Let me mention them to you quickly. I'll give you an outline, and I'm headed back to Mississippi, God's promised land. Hallelujah. You know, there's a chance that Adam was made in the state of Mississippi. Adam means red man, and there's no redder clay in the world than right there in Mississippi where I'm from. Wouldn't it be something if we get to heaven and Adam's a redneck from Mississippi? I believe Eve is a lizard-tongued Democrat from Arkansas. That's exactly what I believe. But anyhow, let me get into the message, and I don't care if you're mad or not, I'm not coming back either. I'm going to show you from the Bible why I'm glad I'm not going through the tribulation period. Number one, I want to tell you the next event to take place is the saints will be removed before the tribulation period ever begins. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that the church is going through the tribulation. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 9 that God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think Jeremiah called it Jacob's trouble? Jacob was turned to Israel. God said this 7-year tribulation period is not for the church, but it's for my earthly people, Israel. I'm glad, thank God, before the Antichrist ever steps out on the scene, we that are saved by the grace of God will be in the presence of our Lord. Hey, you'd be surprised at the people that spend their lifetime trying to figure out who the Antichrist is going to be. Hey, tell you something. I don't give a flip who he's going to be. I'm God before he ever sticks his ugly head up. We that are saved will be out of here. The Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice and the archangel of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah, I'm listening for the trumpet. And the Bible said, in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, Jesus could come again. I looked that up scientifically. Did you know that's less than 1/20th of a second? That twinkling of the eye is the time it takes for your muscle to tighten, for your eye to twitch. In less than 1/20th of a second from right now, every one of us that are saved could be out of here in a glorified body and in the presence of our Lord. I had a Jehoiakim's wickedness knock on my door one day and say, don't you know we're going to inherit the earth? I said, you can have the sucker. Bless God, this world's not my home. I'm glad somewhere over yonder on the other side of it, on the other side of eternity, God has a place prepared for all the people of God. I say to you, before the tribulation begins, there's the removing of the saints of God. Now let me give you something I don't ever want you to forget. I have Bible theologians and Bible study people that come to me all the time, and they have a problem with this, and I want to clarify it for you. They come to me and say, Brother Kidd, what do you do with Noah? God didn't deliver Noah from the judgment. God prepared an ark and put Noah and his family in it, and God preserved them through judgment. He said, that's a type of the church going through the tribulation and coming out on the other end with a new earth and the millennial reign. And he said, you got to understand, God's not taking the church out of judgment. He's just going to preserve it through the tribulation period. I said, brother, I can understand you believing that if you're reading Genesis chapter number 9. But I said, what you don't understand is God's not dealing with the church in chapter number 9. He deals with the church back in chapter number 6 of the book of Genesis. The Bible said there was a man who walked with God, and his name was Enoch. And for 300 years he walked with God. And I'm telling you, before the floodwaters ever come, the Bible said one day God translated him, and he went to heaven without dying. I'm telling you, before judgment comes, the child of God will be out of here. Noah's not a type of the church going through the tribulation. Noah is a type of Israel going through the tribulation. We're translated in chapter 6 before the tribulation ever begins. Hallelujah, I'm so glad I'm not going through the tribulation period. I've been sealed under the day of redemption. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down, and it could be denied, praise God. I can't wait to see some of you sophisticated, pruny-nosed rednecks on resurrection morning if you're in it. So I say, oh, that's shouting. That's just not deep enough for me. Well, let me put this in your pipe and smoke it, buddy. When Jesus comes again, you know what the Bible said he's coming with? He's not coming with a dictionary. He's not coming with a degree. He's not coming with theology. You know what the Bible said he's coming with? One thing, a shout. If it's deep enough for Jesus, buddy, you mark her down. It's deep enough for me. And I'm telling you, when we leave this sin-cursed world and we get a glorified body and we see him face to face, you think we're happy now, honey? You wait, bless God. You just wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Bless God, some of you deadheads, I'm going to stick my tongue out that far and tell you it was good, praise God. Bless God, you sing that song, everybody will be happy over there, and you're not going to be a minute earlier, are you? Woo! I'm glad, thank God, I'm not going through the tribulation period. The saints will be removed before it ever begins. Number two, I must hurry. Sin will be without restraint when the tribulation period begins. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not going to be here. You know what the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7? Look at your Bible. He that now letteth. Notice it didn't say it. It says he. There is a person in the world that is hindering the tribulation period from ever beginning. Who is he? I promise you it's not the Pope. Any man that wears a dress and don't want to get married, you better get away from him now. Bless God, I tell you one thing. Where I come from, we got bad vibes off that a long time ago. It ain't the Pope holding him back. God knows it ain't Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Bill Clinton holding him back. Yeah, man, that's right. I'm going to tell you, there's only one person in this world that has the power and the authority to hold him back, and that's the Spirit of God that's living in the heart of every believer. He's God. He's got the devil on a chain, bless God. He can only go so far, and he's not about to be revealed till we're out of here. Now, wait a minute. The only thing holding this mud ball together tonight is the children of God. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Every morning, when a sinner gets out of bed, he ought to thank God the church is still in this world. Because if you think it's bad now, you wait till Jesus takes his children out of here. You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. They won't be voting on liquor by the drink. They'll be voting on cutting folks' heads off. That's what the Bible said. I'm telling you, all the restraints, all law and order, all governing bodies will be done away with. And sin will be rampant at an all-time high. All the floodgates of hell that the church has held back will finally be open. Sin will be on every hand like it's never been recorded in America before. 9,744 teenagers have committed suicide since I started revival here Monday night in America. But if you think that's bad, honey, you wait till Jesus pulls us out of here. 1,800 women were raped in America since I started this revival Monday night. But you think that's bad, buddy? You wait till Jesus pulls us out of here. America buys over $30 million worth of pornography every 24 hours. But you ain't seen nothing till Jesus pulls us out of here. America drinks over 20 million gallons of beer a day. But you wait till Jesus pulls us out of here. Over 500,000 men are serving prison terms in federal pens across our country. Long-term prison terms. 7 out of 10 of them are repeat offenders. But if you think it's bad now, you wait till Jesus pulls his bride out of here. Listen, women are having babies in the back seat of their car and throwing them in dumpsters and driving off. You think about how bad it is now. You got men kissing men, walking down the street, wanting to get a marriage license. Let me throw this in. Bless God, I don't care if they have a marriage license as long as a roll of toilet paper. They're still an abomination in the sight of God. I don't care what the judge says. I don't care what the law says. I know what God said. It's a filthy, rotten abomination, and it always shall be. But you think it's bad now? You wait till Jesus pulls us out of here. Men of wars are overflowing. Detention homes are filled to capacity. All time high. Everybody's on drugs. Liquor's everywhere. Fornication. Incest. Rape. Illegitimate babies. 750,000 teenage girls gave birth to baby last year and nobody to call daddy. 40,000 11-year-old girls got pregnant in America last year. Sodomy is at an all-time high. 85% of the sodomites in America admit that they were molested while they were children. Child molestation and incest, it's breaking all the charts and all the records. And sometimes, Brother Joe, I go to bed and say, how in the name of God can it get worse? But you wait. You wait till Jesus comes and the children of God leave this world. You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. Sin will be without restraint. I'm glad I'll be gone before the tribulation begins. Number three, I got to hurry. Satan will be revealed. According to chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians and verse number 8. Then, after that spirit of God is gone, then shall the wicked be revealed. Now you got to understand something about the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. According to Revelation chapter number 6, it's a panoramic view of the tribulation period. From Revelation chapter number 4, verse 1, through Revelation chapter number 19, you have this 7-year period of time. But in Revelation chapter 6, you'll see a panoramic view of the tribulation period. There's a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse. Those are four main events that will take place during that 7-year tribulation period. The first horse that comes out is a white horse. Somebody's sitting on the horse, they got a crown on their head, and they got a bow in their hand. But they don't have an arrow. The reason being is they're not coming to bring war. They say they're coming to bring peace. They're on a white horse because they'll claim to be God. The Antichrist will come on the scene. Untold millions of Christians will be gone. Graves will be busted wide open. Folks will be missing from everywhere. And this man filled with charisma and power and lying wonders will step out on the scene. He'll be put on satellite television around the world. He'll be on TBN so fast it'll make your head swim. Woo! Come on, look up here, mate. Some of y'all support that tongue-flapping crowd. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Nice quiet crowd we got here tonight. He'll step out on the scene. He'll claim to be God. The Bible said that he'll bring a false peace upon the face of the earth. Jesus said, when you hear a man say, peace, peace, behold, sudden destruction is just ahead. He'll claim to be God. He'll look just like the pictures of that hippie Jesus you have in your living room. May I say, Jesus is not a hillbilly. He's not a homo, and he's not a hippie. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he'll step out on the scene, and he'll have smoothing attire, and he'll have all the antidotes, and he'll have all the gestures of Jesus. I could get into this deep. I won't right now, but I do believe that it could be a real manifestation of Judas Iscariot. He's the only man in the Bible that ever went to his own place. Who could better portray Jesus than somebody that lived with him for 3.5 years? Learn all of his antidotes, all of his customs, all of his ways, all of his speech. He'll come from his own place. He'll be the false prophet, the Antichrist, and he'll set up a one world kingdom. He'll bring all religions together. All doctrine will be nullified and done away with. We don't gather together under doctrine, he'll say. We gather together under the umbrella of love. Everybody just get together and love everybody. The Bible said he'll do signs and lying wonders. So I said, oh, he's got to be God. He performs miracles. Is that right? The Antichrist can perform miracles, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 13, he'll speak to a graven image. And that image will walk and talk and come alive. Everybody will bow at his feet and say, this has to be God. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation period is a false peace. During that time, they'll build Solomon's temple back and the throne of David will be established. He'll sit on the throne of David. He'll institute a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world army. He'll bring all the armies and the powers of the world together. Satan will sit on that throne, and the Bible said he has deceived the multitudes of the world. Even Israel, with the scales over their eyes, will fall at his feet and say, this has to be God. But I tell you, brother, halfway through the tribulation period, something takes place that reveals the severity of God's judgment like never before. I must skip a lot of it. I've got to hurry and close. Daniel chapter number 11 and verse number 31 called it the abomination of desolation. Once that temple is resurrected and the Antichrist sits on the throne of David and claims to be God, the whole world will bow at his feet. Here's the millennium. This is what we've been waiting for. This is the one that's going to bring world peace. He's going to have all the answers to all of our problems. He can heal the sick, raise the dead, make miracles, and even fire come from heaven, according to the book of Revelation. But the Bible said, brother, he makes a bad mistake in Daniel chapter number 11 and verse number 31 when he does the abomination of desolation. Since Jesus died on the cross, nowhere has Israel ever offered another blood sacrifice on the altar. The temple shook and it was done away with at the death of Jesus on the cross. And the veil was rent from top to bottom. But brother, when the Antichrist sits on the throne of David and claims to be God, they'll bring back that blood altar, that brazen altar. And for the first time since Jesus died, those unbelieving Jews will offer up a sacrifice at the base of that throne unto the Antichrist, thinking it's God. When the blood of that animal hits that altar, that is an abomination to what Jesus did on the cross. Some theologians believe that that animal, out of all animals, will be a pig. Now, I'm not a Jew, and I'm glad I can eat pig. How in the name of God can you live without bacon? Oh, God. I know it'll kill you, but what a way to go. I'm telling you, man. But anyhow, it was pronounced unclean in the Old Testament. And brother, they'll bring that pig in and cut that hog's throat. And when that blood hits that altar, brother, God's looking down out of heaven. And the Bible said, there's never been judgment like it before. And there never shall be judgment like it hereafter. It's called the abomination of desolation. When God sees them make a mockery of what Jesus did on the cross, the Bible said he'll pour out his wrath without mixture and without mercy. Never has God ever poured judgment out on this world that there was not a strand of grace and mercy. When God brought the flood, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When God rained down fire on Sodom, God delivered Lot and his family before the fire came. You show me judgment, I'll show you mercy. But brother, when that blood hits that altar, God said for the first time, since I created this universe, I'm pouring out my wrath. I'm going to show them the judgment and the severity of my wrath. And the Bible said that God will smoke the sun and it'll turn to blood. He'll smoke the waters and all the waters will turn to blood. Can you imagine turning your water faucet on and blood gushing out of it? You go to the beach or one of the rivers or streams to try to be cool and you find that they've all been turned to blood. Billions of dead fish are stinking and rotten and floating on top of the waters. One third of the stars will fall from the sky and the moon will refuse to shine. God will knock the sun and the earth off its axis and pull it together. For 6,000 years, this earth has pivoted and never detoured one degree. But during the tribulation period, God will knock it off of its axis and pull it close to the sun. The shingles will melt off your house, brother, like butter on a hot sidewalk. There'll be no place to run. You can't even get a drink of water because it's all been turned to blood. The judgment of God is everywhere. The Bible said in Revelation chapter number 9, verse number 1 through verse number 6, that in those days, the judgment of God will be so real and so vile that men shall seek to die and death will flee from them. The tribulation period is the only time recorded on the face of this earth that men will try to commit suicide and they cannot die. Can you imagine walking down the street and hearing somebody calling from the rafters of their home, "Help me, help me." You run upstairs into the attic. There hangs a man. His throat's pulled out of joint and yanked to one side as he's dangling from the trusses of his attic. But even though his neck is broke, he cannot die. You go down the stairs and there stands a woman with a butcher knife shoved through her heart. All 8 pints of blood are pumped out at the bottom of her feet. She's as white as a ghost, but yet she can't die. You walk down the road and a man has got his throat slit and the jugular vein and the carotid artery's pumping blood, but he can't die. You hear a young man screaming around the corner. Half his head is blown off with a pistol. His brains are dangling down his neck, but still he cannot die. I'm telling you, God said, death will flee from them. You talking about bad days, buddy? I'm telling you, there's bad days ahead for those that did not receive the love of the truth. Oh, I'm so glad that I'm not going through the tribulation period. You wonder why I'm happy. You wonder why I'm excited. You wonder why I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'll be gone. Hallelujah. You may not want to get saved tonight, sir, but there's a day coming when you wish you would have. Let me tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said in Revelation chapter number 9 that God will send an angel from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit. He'll open the lid to the bottomless pit and ungodly demonic beasts will come out of the flames of that pit. They'll weigh 1,500 to 2,000 pounds. The Bible said they're big as a horse. They'll have a face like a man, hair like a woman, teeth like a lion, and tails like scorpion. They'll have 2 sets of wings. They'll be able to fly through the air. And John said, they sound as the sound of many chariots. Brother, when they fly through the air, when those wings hold up that 2,000-pound body, it actually sounds like chariots running across the ground. The Bible said power and a sword of fire proceed out of their mouth. And they devour anything that's in its sight. Within its tail has the power to sting men and to torment them and beg them to die for 5 months. Can you imagine 2,000-pound demons, honey, filling the air and flying through the sky? I'm not talking about Wizard of Oz. I'm not talking about Walt Disney. I'm not talking about Alfred Hitchcock. I'm talking about what the Bible said. Demons will fill the air. Listen, hail will fall from heaven on fire, bigger than an automobile, and crush people to the ground, and they'll not be able to die. All kinds of viruses and sicknesses and diseases and plagues will fill the land, but men will not be able to die. Their organs will literally rot from the inside out. Their entrails will protrude out of their body. Their eyes will fall out of the sockets. You'll be able to smell them before you see them, but still they're not able to die. Oh, I'm talking about the judgment of God. I'm talking about the judgment of God. God said, I did it on those that loved unrighteousness and received not the love of the truth. You think it's bad now? You wait till God gets done with this mess. You ain't seen nothing yet, honey. Severity of the judgment of God. I'm out of time, but this is the last point I want to get to. Salvation will be an impossibility during the tribulation period. Now, there's a lot of controversy, and this is where it's at. I know what some of you are thinking. You're not fooling me. You don't preach 1,100 meetings, man, and just fall off a pumpkin truck that day. I was born in the morning, but it wasn't this morning. I know what some of you are thinking. You're going to get up someday, and you're going to realize Jesus has come, and you've been left behind. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do, sir, when you roll over one morning to hug your wife, and instead of your wife being in the bed, all there is a fresh puddle of blood in her night clothing? And you say, oh my God, she's gone. What are you going to do, lady, when you roll over, or you get up to go cook breakfast, and you come back in the bedroom to tell your husband breakfast is ready and it's time to go, and all there is a stain of blood on his pillow where he's gone? What are you teenagers going to do when you come home from school and you wonder why mama's not cooking supper and dad's car is not in the yard and you call their cell phone and nobody answers and there's nothing cooking in the kitchen and it seems like everybody's been gone and all of a sudden you see blood splattered everywhere and you wonder what in the name of God's going on? Finally, you turn the radio on and you hear the broadcast. Millions are missing. Chaos throughout all the world. And you say, oh my God. Oh God. God. No. What are you going to do, young lady, when you get up and you go in that beautiful little nursery to get your baby up? Strange. The baby's always up crying for breakfast by now. But this morning, the baby's not crying. So you leap out of bed and you kick the door open to see if the baby's inside and everything's all right. And all you see is a nightie and a small puddle of blood in the mattress of a crib. You come to the gruesome realization, oh my God, it's happened. Those preachers up at Hilltop told me this was going to happen. And now I just thought it was a dream. I thought they were trying to scare me. I thought they were just trying to get me to make a profession. But it's true. It's real. Oh, God. They're gone. You know what you're going to do, son? Let me tell you what some of you sitting in this building is going to do. You're going to get in your automobile and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I remember that Friday night during revival meeting up there at Hilltop. Brother Kidd preached on this. Brother Kidd told me this is going to happen. Now Jesus has come and I've been left behind. But I remember how to get saved. I remember Brother Kidd said if I'd repent by faith and turn to Jesus, that God had saved me. I'd say what I'm going to do. I'm going to ride up to Hilltop. There won't be nobody there, but I want to go to Hilltop. I want to go to that little church where they used to beg me to get saved. I want to go to that old-fashioned church where Brother Franklin used to stand and cry and beg me to come to Jesus. I'm going to go where they told me the Word of God and how to get right with God. But to your amazement, son, when you turn that corner coming up the hill, instead of the parking lot being empty and the church being dark, young lady, you're going to be in for a big surprise. You're going to find cars packed all through this parking lot. You're going to find people shoved off down the road. You're going to find that parking lot out across that shopping center is full. You're going to find cars packed off down off the road here over toward the fellowship hall. I tell you, the lights are going to be on. This building's going to be packed. You're going to be blown away. You're going to be amazed. You can't believe this many people are here. What in the world are they doing here? They're doing the same thing you're doing. They remembered when a man of God warned them to get saved and flee from the wrath of God. And brother, when you come in the back door, son, they're not going to be saved. Brother Michael won't be leading the singing. There won't be anybody playing the piano. Nobody's going to be preaching. All you're going to see is an ocean of people. They're going to be laid out across these floors. I believe they'll be laid out under the pews. I believe when you open the door, you'll be able to hear them across the neighborhood. Nobody's laughing. Nobody's telling jokes. Nobody's talking about hunting stories. Nobody's talking about fishing. Nobody's talking about their job. But all in one accord, they're crying out, oh, God! Save me! God, save me, please! But I'm going to tell you what your Bible says. Because you had pleasure in unrighteousness and received not the love of the truth, God will send you a strong delusion. He's going to damn you to hell, buddy. Always remember this. If you leave here tonight without Jesus, don't ever forget this. If you miss the rapture, you are doomed for hell. I'm so glad I won't be here for the tribulation period. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Brother Michael's going to sing just as I am.